You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Because of the coronavirus, justice is moving more slowly in California. Jury trials have been suspended. Hearings have been delayed. But immigration courthouses are still open. And some advocates worry that puts people at risk of exposure. But closing down immigration court poses other dangers, too. Francisco Ugarte is an immigration attorney with San Francisco's Public Defender's Office. KALW Justice reporter Holly J. McDeed asked him about how this pandemic has changed deportation hearings.
There were calls nationally to close all courts, and we actually objected to that. So if people are detained in custody, they need access to justice, and sticking someone in jail without ever getting a chance to go to court is, you know, terrifying. Imagine that. And so we were opposed to that. However, the court was just so slow to respond to this crisis. I sent an email to the presiding judge in San Francisco, to the court staff, and to immigration, the lead immigration attorney for ICE, about how really ridiculous it was for me to be filing documents in paper during a shelter-in-place order when you could easily send them fax filing. So I sent a long email. I never got a response from that email, but I've never gotten a response from really any real substantive communication from the presiding judge of the immigration courts in San Francisco, who, by the way, is located in Detroit. We do not have a line of communication with the courts. They ignore us and they refuse to talk to us. And they usually say, well, we're not allowed to talk to you because of Washington. We have no authority because everything's coming from Washington. And just really shocking that in a level of crisis where all of our health of all of us is at stake, that they're not communicating with us about how to do things right.
Now, court is still in session. The detained courts, judges are still showing up. Government attorneys are still showing up. And our attorneys periodically are showing up. Every time you walk in, the guards are really standing close together. And you're thinking, what is going on here? But it just seems like different people take this virus. They have different ways of dealing with it.
So as the virus starts to spread, does the unit ramp up the effort to release more people? And what does that look like given all that has changed in how immigration court is functioning right now?
When word got to the detainees that this was happening, there was legitimate fear. People were really freaking out. Like, what's going to happen? Is this going to be a death sentence for us? You know, our unit primarily practices in the immigration courts doing deportation defense. We realized immediately that these courts, which unfortunately have been really politicized and where standards of getting someone released are so strict, we knew that we had to get some kind of other intervention and go to the federal courts. We prepared and filed a lawsuit on behalf of 13 vulnerable detainees, all with underlying health conditions, and we showed how this virus is spreading quickly in jails. I think here in San Francisco, you know, 100 people tested positive at a homeless shelter recently. And, you know, shelters are probably the most analogous congregate living spaces to what our clients are dealing with. Of course, our clients are involuntarily put there, but viruses can spread like wildfire in a detention facility. And so we demanded their release, and we actually got a victory last week from the court ordering the release of four of those plaintiffs. This week, two more were ordered release. So we're elated about that. But the reality is that's just not enough.
Can you tell me a little bit about the client you've represented?
Yeah. So one of our clients is named Charles Joseph. I've known him for about a year now. He's from Fiji. He came over to the country at the age of 15 years old, ended up at the age of 22 with an armed robbery. No one was hurt, but in prison, he completely changed his life. I mean, it's just shocking change. And he started understanding why he was making mistakes, what he was doing. He
He was he went through therapy. He did music therapy, art therapy, and he really blossomed as a musician. Then after his 13-year sentence, he was sent to immigration detention, and he was going to be deported to Fiji. And Charles became a leader amongst the detainees at Unit C in Mesa Verde during this coronavirus. He got a letter of support signed by all detainees. He read the letter on video, and he was invaluable in providing us critical information about the conditions at Mesa Verde, and he submitted a declaration that eventually led to the release of many, many people. He also has serious asthma, and he's used albuterol all his life. He's had attacks in prison. He also was tested positive. He somehow contracted TB in prison, and so he was medically vulnerable. But 2 days ago, he was released from the facility after about 14 years of incarceration. The guard comes up to him, and he says, "Hey, Joseph, can you get your stuff in 10 minutes? And he's like, "What?" He's like, "You can't believe it." He's out now, and he's with his family. And just yesterday, he was calling me, and he said, "You know, I'm just looking outside. I can't stop looking outside." He's sitting out in the parking lot about 5 feet away from his house. And he said he felt like the caveman in the Geico commercial. Like, he doesn't know how to use smartphones. It's like all this stuff that he hasn't seen in a long time. It's truly, I mean, you know, as a lawyer, periodically you represent people that are like not only equals, but people who are far superior in a lot of different ways.
Right. And so the people that you've been able to release through this lawsuit, so their cases are not over, is that right?
The lawsuit is about the detention condition and to ensure that those who are detained in immigration custody don't have to risk their lives and their health based on their detention status. So we're asking for their release from custody. Doesn't mean that their immigration proceedings will stop. Their immigration proceedings are continuing based on whatever rules or orders are coming down from Washington, D.C. So, you know, I have two clients whose cases are before the Ninth Circuit right now. So we're still going to have to fight.
Are there impacts that you're worried about that will continue after this crisis is over?
Very much so. So what the court is doing now is they're not permitting witnesses to come in person to the court, and they're having them either go telephonic or simply submit a declaration where the witness isn't allowed to be examined or cross-examined. And so the more we automate, there's a strong danger that what little protections that immigrants have in detained proceedings will be lost in the future, specifically the right to call and introduce live witnesses to support your case. We are worried that court organization could change. So suddenly there's fewer detained courts in San Francisco. So people could be arrested in San Francisco and their family members could be taken like miles and miles away to facilities with very few due process rights and very few remedies. So there is definitely a danger in these expanding technology capacities, and we have to make sure we have fundamental due process protections in whatever technology that we bring so we can actually expand and promote due process instead of limit it.
That was immigration attorney Francisco Ugarte speaking with KALW's justice reporter, Holly J. McDeed. You can hear more of Holly's reporting at kalw.org.